From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to your questions in just a few moments. But I want to begin the broadcast today by asking you a question. Do you know where you are right now? I know at face value, it sounds like a silly question. But if we shift the frame of reference from a geological frame or a geographical frame to a spiritual frame, the answer might be radically different. You see, I'm personally persuaded that you and I are in occupied territory. Enemy occupied territory. That is what this world is. And Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say, in disguise, and is calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Those were the words of C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, and I'm absolutely convinced that never has the need for sanctified saboteurs been greater. All you have to do is get a brief exposure to the headline news in order to be appalled at the accelerating decline in critical spiritual and cultural indicators. Whether it's the alarming level of biblical illiteracy in churches, the startling collapse of morality and common decency, the increasingly flagrant and frontal assaults on traditional notion of human sexuality by growing numbers of radical extremists, it's clear that we're in the midst of an ominous spiritual and cultural battle. What's more, it's a battle whose outcome will determine more than just the quality of your life or the life of your children or grandchildren. It will likely determine whether there are rational grounds for optimism regarding our future or whether we should begin bracing ourselves for a nightmare once thought certainly unlikely, if not impossible. Although knowing where we are is important, that's actually not my reason for communicating what I'm communicating right now. I'm saying this to remind you of who and whose you are. In the well-documented fog of war, we can sometimes suffer a personal identity crisis. We can forget that you and I are sons and daughters of a Creator, one who spoke in billions of galaxies with billions of stars leapt into existence. We can forget that we belong to Him and His power is constantly at work within us. I thought in the quote-unquote fog of war, this will illumine the hearts of our listeners. It will once again cause them to recognize that they are not on the losing side, that ultimately they're not called even to win, but just to be faithful. And when we have this stampede of ideas that seem to trample over the notion that God spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, the King of creation would bring us back to those things we miss in noise pollution, in light pollution, in sound pollution. I have been once again reinvigorated in the fog of war to say, no, we do not have to give an inch. We're called to make a difference, and together we can standing shoulder to shoulder make that difference. Please support the ministry. We can certainly use your support this month. Anything you can do to help would be deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Well, let's go to the phone lines. First, we'll talk to Eugene in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the call. I went to a meeting Sunday with a local church that was wanting to equip people to take a missions trip to witness to Muslims overseas. And in the preparation, most of the conversation had to do with learning about their customs and how you address them and so forth. What concerns me is that people in the church believe that you have to become friends with Muslims in order to witness to them. I've heard the same thing mentioned, that you need to become a friend with the homosexual in order to witness to them. I see Islam as the religion of Satan and as the enemy of God. And my concern was that if people don't understand or have a little bit of understanding of the Quran and where these Muslims come from, how are you going to witness or discuss the differences between the religions unless you understand something about the Quran? And so my question is, how should a Christian prepare themselves to witness?
Well, look, first of all, I think it's really important to never embrace a we-they-siege mentality against anybody. That's not our goal. Our goal is never to repel. Our goal is to reach. And that is to say, to become equipped, always ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that lies within you, and to do that with gentleness and with respect. Whether someone is a heterosexual sinner or a homosexual sinner or Islamic or Mormon or whatever, the point is not to set up this siege mentality and say, well, they're of the devil and therefore I'm not going to. No, we should be, as Jesus was, a friend of sinners. All of us are justly and condignly condemned for our sin, were it not for the grace of God. And therefore, we are simply saying that we've reached out hands as though of beggars to reach the gift of a king. We've received that gift, and we want to pass the gift on to other people by being equipped witnesses. But never to in any way seek to repel, always to seek to reach.
I don't think that I would disagree with what you just said. My concern is, how does a person get into a discussion with a Muslim if you know nothing about the Quran, if you know, and they're, you know, they're firing back that Allah is the same God that we worship?
Right, but remember, first of all, the thing for us to do, and this is part of my answer, the thing for us to do is to become so familiar with the truth that whenever there's a deviation, we can use the deviation as a springboard or an opportunity. So Muslims have a high regard for Jesus Christ, but they do not suppose that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. The very notion to them is the unforgivable sin of shirk. Now, that will come out in a conversation, whether you knew that ahead of time or not. What you have to be equipped to do is to be able to demonstrate that, no, Jesus is, in fact, God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not even just sinless. He is God in every sense. He's the creator of all things. You have to be able to, in a compelling fashion, to communicate that truth. Because believe me, I've been to Iran, I've been to Muslim countries, I've spent a lot of time engaging Muslims, and I constantly learn new things about their faith that I didn't know before. But the thing that I do know well is what the truth is, and therefore I can always take those deviations and I can respond to those deviations because I know the truth. So my point to you is simply to say, become so familiar with the truth that whatever deviation, and a lot of the deviations are not all that sophisticated to begin with. Satan packages and repackages the lie in a lot of different ways, but it's still the same basic lie. So you need to know the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Be so familiar with defending them that you can take the deviations of Islam and deal with them in a loving, contrite, compassionate way. That's what we're called to do. And we're not even called to change hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rosemary in Alvin, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You have impacted and inspired me in a huge way. Mm. Thank you and your staff for what y'all do, and I will continue to support your ministry, and may God bless you in so many ways.
Thank you.
My question, I've been watching the news, and I'm seeing more and more news on UFOs and what one would consider extraterrestrial life. Do you believe in such thing? And if so, do you consider them to be fallen angels?
Well, no, I don't consider them to be fallen angels. Fallen angels do not have physicality, and therefore they cannot manifest. Now, angels can manifest by God's creative prowess, and that has happened in biblical times. But fallen angels never manifest. They don't have the wherewithal to create bodies or to create physicality, and therefore they cannot manifest in the physical world.
Okay.
But I would say further that hard evidence on UFOs is, well, hard to come by. 80% of more can be attributed to natural causes. And the message that you usually get from these extraterrestrials as they're being showcased in various forums, television and movies and so forth, is that if we don't accelerate our technological and our spiritual evolution, we will not be able to avert global catastrophe. And the spokespersons for these ETs are typically New Agers and occultists, so that should give you a bit of a warning right there. But having said all of that, I don't deny the possibility, nor does the Bible deny the possibility. I just don't see any hard evidence for it.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
It's kind of a two-part question, so I apologize in advance. But the first part of the question is, how much background information about Jesus does someone need to be given in order to share the gospel with them, namely in the United States? And then the second part to that question is, how much information is essential to preaching the gospel to someone based on what is said in Romans 1:1-7?
Yeah, it's really interesting if you just look at Romans in blocks, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and Romans chapter 3. You see, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, that we have the light of creation, which preaches to us. For much like David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. This is general revelation where the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And when you see it, you intuitively know without hearing a word that there is a God, and that he is majestic and has left his imprimatur in the universe that he has made. And then when you get to Romans chapter 2, you see that God has also written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of your consciousness. Now, the point is, if you respond to the light you've been given, the external light and the internal light, then you will receive the light of Christ, who will reveal himself to you as he wills ever more fully. Which is to say, the Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So as I've said on this broadcast, and this is not original with me, God dwells in enough darkness so that if you want obscurity, if you don't want to see him, you're not going to see him, but in enough light that if you want to find him, you will most certainly find him, which made it make a whole lot of sense when Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. In terms of what you need to know that God created the universe, You know that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that you know that God has a purpose for you, and He begins to reveal that purpose to you. He does that through normal means, but He can do it through unusual means as well. The normative way that God reveals Himself to us is through His Word and through those who are arbiters of His Word or ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And they can explain to us, first of all, the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am? Because when you say, I want to follow Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference who that Jesus Christ is. If He's an avatar or a messenger, a whole lot different than if He's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So you want to know who that Jesus is that you're following. When you recognize that He is the one who created you, the one who created the universe, then you want to follow His principles and precepts. And that's a gradual, ongoing process for each one of us. The more you know about Him, the more there is to know. You can never exhaust that reality. So we're all on stages of knowing Him at various levels, and even in eternity, we will continue that trek.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, and part of what I've been wrestling with is churches that perform a quote-unquote altar call where they ask people to raise their hands, and then the church is more or less professing these people to have been saved. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:2 that it's by the gospel in which we've been saved, and Paul talks more about it in Romans 1. But he says, you know, through the Holy Scriptures regarding the Son of earthly life, who was a descendant of David. And I wondered if the people that were in Jesus' day when He was walking the earth, most of those people are already understood the coming Messiah and at least what they've expected Him and the Jewish history that went along with that, whereas in our country today, most people have heard of Jesus, but they don't necessarily understand that Jewish history and why it was important that the prophecies that were given about Jesus ahead of time. So do we need to explain any of that, in your opinion, to be able to share the gospel? Because I've heard the gospel preached directly out of Romans 1:1-7.
Well, I think it's extraordinarily helpful to know that Jesus is the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy so that you know of a surety that He is who He says He is. So He left no doubt about this through His ancestry, through His birth in Bethlehem, the circumstances surrounding His life and His death, the date of His visitation, the fact that He was an extraordinary worker of miracles, that He became the one to fulfill the law and the prophets, that He was not only a parochial Jewish Messiah, but He was a light to the Gentiles, and all that and more. But, you know, I think the real issue is, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? And that is not, you're making a great point. It's not just about, well, you raised your hand and now there's this giant computer in the sky, and in that computer, the check mark goes behind your name. You raised your hand. That's not what it is. It's not just giving verbal assent to logical truth propositions. It is wanting with all your heart, every fiber of your being, to be a participant in His kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ, which means taking up your cross and daily following Him. So the idea is not just verbal assent, as though there's some magic wand that is waved somewhere, but rather those that desire to follow Jesus Christ. And you have to know who Jesus is. Who's going to follow someone if you don't know who they are? It's stupid to follow them. And certainly that would be the case with Jesus Christ. That does not entail exhaustive knowledge. And certainly as I've traveled the world, I've seen people in rural areas who didn't know much about the Word of God, but did know the author. You could tell that there was an intimacy of relationship. So they had this visceral relationship with God, but all the while wanting to learn more and more about Him. So when you show up with the good news and more information, they're all ears.
Right. I appreciate you elaborating on that. I appreciate you taking my question. And also, hopefully for any listeners, I pray that people are praying for the churches in their nation, that we are really elaborating on the full gospel and not just assuming that people are getting saved, that we're really putting in the work to help these people reach Christ. So again, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ray, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hank. I got a question about demons. Are demons fallen angels? And if not, how did they come into existence?
No, demons are fallen angels. I mean, God created angels, and those that followed Lucifer in his fall are demons. So fallen angels and demons are equivalent.
And they had free will to follow Lucifer.
They did, and they were actualized in their choice to follow Lucifer. That's correct.
Could they be redeemed?
No, because they had requisite knowledge and they chose to follow Satan as opposed to follow the Lord. There's nothing within them that would want to turn to Christ. They hate everything and everything that has to do with his kingdom.
But they know he exists. They believe.
Not only believe, but they shudder. And the point there is, you say you believe, says James, even the demons say that and shudder. Belief is not the full essence of salvation. To have true saving faith not only means that you know about Jesus Christ, that you agree that he's Savior and Lord, but that you trust in him. The demons know about Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They agree that he's spoken the universe, left into existence, but they're not trusting him for anything. So true saving faith entails knowledge, assent, and trust, all three of those components. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.